The average person loses 756 socks in a lifetime.
I mean, that seems like a lot, mm-hmm. but I'm thinking about all the pairs of socks I've gone through in a lifetime. And I mean, if they say that's what the numbers add up to, I guess maybe they're right.
I've been having this issue lately. I certainly wasn't going to talk about it. I have a really hard time finding very low socks that I like. They either fall off my feet, they don't stay put, or they just disappear. I spend so much money on like the ultra low, like no-show socks, the white ones.
You're a big fan of those. I know. You saw me with ankle socks one time and chastised me. I do remember.
I want you to look at my socks right now. Hold on, look.
Okay.
Look, what am I wearing?
They're low cut.
Yeah, but they're not the no-show. And you want to know why I'm not wearing the no-show?
Nothing I did.
Because they're gone. Raven, I'm not even exaggerating. I have bought 60 pair of these white socks. And they keep disappearing. And I keep yelling at my daughter, my 13-year-old, thinking that she's taking them. But I go into her drawer when she's not paying attention. They're not there. I don't know where these socks are going. Like, people say that the washing machine, the dryer eats them. But, like, for real? Like, where are they? And why are they only these socks that mean so much to me?
I mean, that sounds like a high amount. Are you sure that, like, Hayden's not going out and she's just, maybe she's frivolous with socks. Maybe she feels like socks grows on trees. So she'll just, you know, is she one of those girls that takes off her shoes and then does, like, gymnastics in the driveway or something like that with her girlfriends? Because my sister used to do that crazy nonsense.
No.
You have sneakers. Play hopscotch with those.
You think she's selling my socks on the black market?
No, I just think she goes out there, she gets a little bit rowdy in the socks, and then when she's done with the socks, socks just tossed to the side.
No, she swears that she does not touch these socks, and I don't know where they are or where they're going, and they're costing me a fortune because I could barely find ones that I like enough. They never stay on my feet, and then I finally find them, and they disappear within, like, one wash.
Who is the person that you always blame for something that's missing in your house, no matter what?
My 13-year-old.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So I do the same thing with my kid. So
yeah.
He's 24. He hasn't lived in the house for 2 years. And whenever something comes missing, I'm like, Jordan's probably got it.
Yeah.
My wife gets so mad.
Right. But like, she's the logical choice, but she doesn't. and that makes it even scarier because is there somebody that's breaking into my home and stealing my white no-show ankle socks?
If you come to find out someday that Hayden does have the socks, see if she also has my yellow hammer,
okay,
my socket wrench, 3/8 drive,
all right,
and the snow shovel, my favorite one, the yellow one,
mm-hmm.
the yellow one that Alicia hates.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she's got that too.
I'll check under her bed tonight.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
3 news stories, but you only get to hear about one. Raven picks which one it is. Raven, are you ready for your selection today?
I am ready to go.
Number one, drunk lawyer busted for strumping naked at bar.
Is that really a crime?
Yes. Number two, college student has legs amputated after eating leftover noodles.
Oh, that is terrible.
Yep. And number three, 3 people wanted for stealing over $1,000 in Yankee candles from CVS.
I have leftovers right now. I have lo mein leftover right now in my refrigerator, so I feel like I got to go with number two.
Okay, this is a terrible story. It's a freak story for sure. Here's what happened to this Massachusetts college student.
JC is a 19-year-old man presenting to the emergency room with muscle pain, chills, and shortness of breath. 5 hours earlier, a purplish discoloration that looked like bruises had developed on his skin, and his roommate immediately drove him to the hospital.
All right. Okay. So, like, what could possibly start something like this in a really healthy 19-year-old man?
That sounds like a guy recapping at the beginning. It's like when they bring somebody in Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
Presenting, blah, blah, blah. Give me this stat. Give me that. Okay.
That's exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one thing that could have caused it.
Okay.
Immediately after eating the meal of leftover chicken and noodles, that food must have been no good.
Right. So it was.
I mean, how could it be that no good to actually make you, like, you know?
I mean,
lose limbs.
He thought that he was having like food poisoning, but he went in and then he vomited, and they were looking at it and they took samples of it and they couldn't figure out what it was, and then they finally realized, and I'm going to say this wrong, and I apologize.
Okay.
He was diagnosed with meningococcal purpura fulminans disease.
Oh, yeah, you definitely said that wrong, right.
And it causes stiff neck, nausea, respiratory collapse, shock, and organ failure, and they had to amputate his legs.
Oh, my gosh.
It's terrible.
That is absolutely horrific.
Absolutely, this young guy.
How do you avoid that? I mean, you're talking about regular, you know, Chinese food from your neighborhood. We're not going to all stop eating Chinese food. I love it.
Right. It has nothing to do with the food itself. It's the way that it's stored. And experts have warned against the dangers of improperly storing leftover rice, because rice and pasta has this bacteria in it that can cause this if not stored correctly. So you know how you get those containers, like Chinese food, sometimes they come in like the cardboard, like the cute little cardboard containers.
Of course, that's what everything Chinese comes in.
Well, I've noticed that.
I keep those containers in my refrigerator.
But do you realize, my Chinese places have stopped doing that. And I thought, I was wondering why, and I just figured the pandemic, I don't know.
The plastic or the styrofoam was cheaper or whatever.
Yeah, like who knows why. Mm. No, you're not supposed to put those cardboard containers inside your refrigerator. You're supposed to refrigerate your Chinese leftovers within 2 hours, take it out of the cardboard, and put it in airtight containers.
I feel like you're doing a good public service because everybody knows that you don't want to do that. You have no desire to do it.
No.
Opening up the fridge door and seeing one of those little paper containers full of Chinese food is like getting a present on Christmas morning.
100%.
Yeah.
It's like putting a little bow on top of it, and it literally is a present. But you can't do that, and most importantly, it's only good for 3 to 4 days, so make sure you toss it after that.
Well, be forewarned. Right now, I'm going to roll those dice later, though.
No. Did you not just hear what happened to this kid?
All right.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 I'm running the risk of sounding like a hater with what I'm about to say.
Here we go.
All right, what's that thing that drives you nuts? You could always call or text 1-800-330-9999. Raven, has anyone ever bought you anything just because you're a good time? That Raven, he is a good time. You know what? Let me just buy you something awesome.
What do you mean?
All right.
I guess. I mean, for birthdays and stuff like that, but randomly out of left field, usually not.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, if you brag about how people buy you stuff because you're just a fun time, that's all I need to know about you. She is a bikini barista. Okay, so that means that she makes coffee and she makes it in her bikini.
Yeah.
And the minute I clicked on the TikTok, I knew that she was going to be beautiful. Of course she is. And here she is talking about it.
So I've actually had my couch paid for. It's a bougie couch. My whole dining room set. It's gorge. All my kitchen utensils, my groceries, an entire projector put into my living room.
Oh.
My customers are lit. Also, before you assume, all I do is make them coffee. I make good conversation. Your girl is interesting, okay? I'm a fun time. I'm a good girl.
Yeah. I'm a good time.
Listen.
I'm a good girl.
Let me tell you what's going on here.
No one's ever bought me a couch.
Every one of those people that has bought her something thinks that there's the possibility of something else happening in their relationship.
I just wonder, Raven, and this is where I sound like a hater, like, who walks into the coffee place, orders a latte, and then it's like, hey, do you need a couch?
A
bougie couch that I saw that I think you'd love, and I'll buy it. It's a bougie couch.
From what I understand, a lot of these bikini baristas, too, like a lot of them are like drive-up, so you like pull up to it. This is what they did with the old Kodak instant film huts, right, where they used to develop the film. So it's like a girl in a bikini in the hut, and you pull up, and you're in your big truck, and she makes conversation with you, and then you offer to buy our couch when she talks about her new apartment or whatever. I mean, it's the same thing that's been going on at strip clubs for decades.
Silverware. Right? You like silverware?
This is what's been going on at Hooters and strip clubs forever, right?
You make them think
that they might be your boyfriend someday or girlfriend or whatever, and then therefore people buy you gifts.
Raven, maybe
it's called a tribute.
Hold on. Did you hear what she said?
Dirty circles.
Did you hear?
My customers are lit. Also, before you assume, all I do is make them coffee. I make a conversation. Your girl is interesting, okay?
Yeah.
Super interesting.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Come on.
So if she was so interesting, she could get her couch paid for without the bikini.
And for this, on a side note, if you pull up to a pretty girl and you just offer to buy her silverware, that's also all I need to know
about you.
It's
so creepy.
Right?
All right? She's not going to be your girlfriend. You can buy her a couch or whatever. You should feel bad about it. All right? If she agrees to go to coffee with you privately after you buy her a couch, you should also feel bad about that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Want to hear this crazy email I got yesterday?
Go for it.
Okay, so we were talking about what do your dogs eat? Like, dogs eat things they're not supposed to eat all the time. And there was a study that said 4 times a day, your pet will try to eat something they're not supposed to.
I would say at least.
Yeah, so we were talking about it. And then I get this email and it says, I have worked at animal hospitals for years in the surgery department. The most common things we've had to remove from dogs is socks, chunks of dog toys, shredded dog ropes, and rocks. Wait, but here's where it gets crazy.
Okay.
Panties were there prior to COVID, but we have not seen a single pair since.
Wait a minute. Panties were on the top 10 list beforehand, but now they're not?
Right. She says, I guess people are too lazy to wear them now. And then she goes on to say, my favorite underwear story was in Brooklyn. The dog ate underwear that we surgically removed, and we always give back the foreign body as proof.
Oh, my gosh.
When we gave back the underwear. Wait, listen. This is where it gets crazy.
Yeah.
When we gave back the underwear, the wife stormed out of the hospital. The husband followed her out and proceeded to have a heated conversation and a loud conversation about how those were not her underwear.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine?
Come on.
I swear.
That's crazy.
So I'm laughing about this, and I'm reading this, and I go, huh. I go, I wonder why they're not finding panties anymore. So I started digging and doing research.
I have so many questions here. Please, before we get to your research there. Did they rinse the panties first? I mean, how could she even recognize them after they went through somebody's body?
Do you want me to email
Carly back? And I love it if a mechanic shows me my old brake caliper or whatever. But if something was in a body, I don't know if I need to see it.
Well, no, but don't you, like, when you have, like, stones removed, don't they give them to you, like, in a little vial?
I don't know. I mean, I just had a tooth pulled for emergency sake. They didn't give it to me in a jar or anything.
Did you ask for it?
I did, actually. Oh. But they were like, no, it's cracked.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll email Carly back and I'll ask her. But, so I started doing the research.
Yeah.
And I found that it's true. Underwear sales since the beginning of the pandemic are down 30%. And the bras with the wires are also down significantly because people don't want to wear underwear anymore.
We're living in sweats, man. Yeah. I mean, you know, you just adjust your Zoom camera, what the angle is going to be, where you're working from. So many people are just working out of their laptop now.
Yeah, but you don't wear underwear anymore?
Well, I'm wearing underwear. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Ironically, this weekend, I was going through my underwear drawer, uh-huh. And I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't bought new underwear in years. And I went to the mall and I bought myself 10 new pairs so I could throw away all the old ones.
It's such a guy thing that we wear underwear until it basically falls off the body. So yeah. I wouldn't count us. But I told you, every time we go to the mall, my wife buys new underwear. Every time, I swear, it seems
really?
To be.
I do it like once a year, and I realized I skipped the pandemic year, so I was like, oh, I guess it's time.
Those stores, they're always like mailing her a coupon. It's like, get your free panties. And she loves free panties. Well, I don't know what that is.
If she was like the rest of the country, she would just stop wearing them. hi, it's Hannah and Raven.
Yeah, I just want to chime in on the underwear thing.
Yes.
I actually quit wearing underwear 3 years ago when my doctor told me that women actually aren't supposed to wear underwear because we're supposed to be able to breathe down there. You know, and so many people today are wearing like these synthetic fabrics and all this stuff. Like, I quit wearing it altogether 3 years ago and I love it.
Like, when you wear jeans, isn't it uncomfortable?
That back flap is supposed to save you from zipper burn.
What's uncomfortable is a thong wedged up your booty crack.
I'm not going to argue with any of these points. This is all uncomfortable for me.
Mm-hmm. And uncomfortable is exactly what those thongs are. How much money would it take for you to sell out and write a tell-all book? But you got to write everything. You can't selectively leave things out.
I mean, I've actually got a lot of stuff in my life that some people would love to hear about and some people would hate hearing about. So, gosh, I mean, it would have to be a good amount of money. Here's the thing, though. You have to be interesting enough that people want to actually hear your story. Well, people don't care about a nobody's tell-all.
Right. So that was the whole thing about Britney Spears. Britney Spears has agreed to write a $15 million tell-all book, which, of course, comes after her sister writing a tell-all book. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's just tit for tat. And I was thinking about it, and it's like, everybody's got a price. They say that.
Sure.
But is that true? Because I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, like, your parents have to read it.
Mm-hmm.
So all the bad, dirty things now your parents know. Like, all your friends are going to know every secret about you.
Sure.
Your spouse is going to know every single thing. You got to put it all out there.
Your prospective spouse, too. I mean, in this regard, Britney Spears is not married yet at this point.
Yep.
I mean, she's still young enough, too, where these things. Listen, if somebody writes a tell-all when they're 80 years old, good for you. You're keeping the lights on. You're paying the mortgage and all those things. And people might want to hear the story, but it's a different thing. You know, when you're younger and you're still a commodity, that's a different thing. It's going to affect everything moving forward.
Producer Sean, what's your price to write a tell-all book? What's the number?
Oh, come on, guys. You know me. I'm unrealistic. I'm going to go real high. Maybe like $4 million?
What is the interesting fact?
Tell me one thing.
Right,
one thing
from
your book.
Out.
Yeah.
All right. The one thing I will say is I got Jack Nicholson to pay me to buy him cigarettes.
What?
That's awesome.
Don't you want to know, right?
Is that a real story? Did you just make that up?
That's a real story. That's a very real story. And I have a picture to prove it.
Interesting.
What? Yep.
Oh, wow.
How is the first time we've never heard this story before?
The picture to prove it is good. The authenticity is really a big factor as to the value of something.
All
I'm not sure that I need to pay $4 million to hear that in a book.
Yeah.
No, Raven, you want
but
to.
But I'm going to make you tell this story. I'm going to make you tell this story another time, yeah. If not this time, another time.
All right, so that's interesting. Producer John, what is your price for your tell-all book?
I mean, my kids got to read it. It's
right.
Tough.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I guess $1 million?
What?
I guess $1 million.
I think that this is what it comes down to is, again, people want to talk about their integrity and say that, you know, something doesn't have a price, but then somebody writes a number down or puts it in front of you and you believe that, oh, wait, this is actually real.
Yes.
And then it becomes very tangible. As soon as somebody gives you a number that, you know, you start thinking about all the things you could do with that number after.
What would be the one thing in your tell-all book?
I used to love going to the movies when I was a kid. I went to the movies all the time. In 7th and 8th grade, I did not pay for a theater ticket a single time. We snuck in every single time. I had the system down.
I don't know if that's worth $1 million.
I don't want my kids to learn about my criminal ways.
Mm-hmm. It might be worth some incarceration.
Raven, what's your price?
Sounds like larceny.
Yeah.
I don't know the price, but I can tell you that my real confessions will be is that I have always resented the fact that my brother went to space camp and saw a space shuttle launch. And I didn't get to go.
Chapter 7 of Raven's book that nobody paid to
read.
It's
going to be like 6 chapters. It's going to be like 6 chapters. Also, my father used to steal decorative rocks from the water company.
That's what you're putting in there?
He didn't feel like the company deserved the decorative rocks they had in their landscaping area, so he would steal them at night.
All right. Okay.
Sorry, Dad, I confessed.
100%. There's no amount of money that would make me write a tell-all book about all the secrets that I know. Not one number. Not even $15 million. But I might pay $4 million to hear about Sean. I might, right? Yeah.
We're going to make him tell us that now.
Yeah.
From a lack of a filter to unhinged lunacy, we ask you, the people, is Anna Zapp out of line?
Part of me feels like a hypocrite. Part of me thinks that I'm a genius. I'm not sure which one. It's only one or the other.
Well, that's a really wide spectrum there. There's a lot of room to run through in between those two things.
So, Raven, when I was growing up, I was not allowed to have sleepovers. I was not allowed to have people sleep at my house, and I was not allowed to sleep out except at my cousin Angela's house. She was the only person that I was allowed to sleep at because it was my cousin. Right?
Good thing that you like your cousin.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
I mean, good thing.
And I remember I always would complain that I felt left out. I felt like I couldn't do anything. Even on my 16th birthday, all I wanted to do was sleep at my friend Tina's house, and it was a big deal, and I did not get to. And I never actually slept out anywhere besides Angela's house until I was in college, which explains my college years, I think, for the most
part. You went
part.
Insane. Right. You went totally over the top insane.
But I've been thinking about it a lot because it was something that always bothered me. But I look at my daughter, Hayden, and she's turning 13 in a couple weeks, and I decided... And I talked to her about it. Well, I didn't really talk to her about it. I kind of just informed her.
Told her. It's a statement.
It's a statement.
Right. Yeah, it's not a vote.
I don't want her to sleepovers either. And I just want my kids home at night. I don't like sleepovers. She could have the occasional friend sleep at our house.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to let her sleep out at other people's houses. Unless, of course, she wants to sleep at her cousin's house.
Or Angela's kid's house, right.
Angela's
her,
house, yeah.
Her cousin's cousins, right. Yeah. Your cousin's kids, right.
She can sleep at Angela's house,
right.
Yeah. Or she can sleep at, like, you know, my sister's house.
But yeah, your mom's house, something like that.
My family members or my best friend's house.
Yeah.
That's it. But nobody else. No friends from school. No parents that I don't know well. And I decided that I just think that it's best because I just, and it's not that she's a bad kid. Mm. There's absolutely not. She's a great kid. I just don't like sleepovers, and I don't think that kids need to have them.
Well, wait, I mean, you're dancing around here. What is your biggest problems with it? What is your biggest trepidations with your daughter sleeping out?
You know, I don't even like when she's downstairs when I go to bed. I like her to be in her bedroom.
I understand that. Right?
I like
her to safety's sake.
Safety. I want her to be close to me. Mm-hmm. I don't like the way that I feel when she sleeps out because I'm always worried that something is going to happen. I don't know always exactly where she is. Of course I trust her,
but
I just don't understand why. Like, what's the difference if mommy or daddy comes and picks you up at midnight versus, like, you know, having to spend the night? Like, you're just going to go to sleep anyway. And I hate in the morning when you have to get up early to go pick them up, and it interrupts your day.
all these things are about you. Mm-hmm. Not many of these things are really about her.
And
so
she has a busy schedule. She's a soccer player. She's in theater, all that. They're always miserable the next day.
Yeah, it sounds like you're deflecting. It's what it sounds like. I mean, I used to sleep out all the time. And all the things that you're talking about can happen and will possibly happen. But on the other hand, there's a whole bunch of cool things that come with sleeping over and hanging out with your friends and being silly at 2 a.m., at 3 a.m., or getting one of the parents mad at you guys or whatever. I mean, that's part of being together. I just watched Stand By Me yesterday. It was on television yesterday. Who has friends better than the friends that you had when you were 12 or 13 years old?
Oh,
not many.
She can have those friends, except she can't have them between 12 and 6 a.m. I said I was never going to do it, and I did it. I banned sleepovers. My daughters can't go to sleepovers anymore unless it's a family member's house or one of my very close bestest friends.
I mean, I enjoyed sleepovers so much as a teenager. I really did. It was good practice for me, I think, to figuring out how to deal with other people and living situations or whatever. I mean, it trailed off when I got older, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, for a while, I loved it.
Am I out of line? I'm looking at the text line. The benefits of sleepovers. Children get to try new experiences. It builds independence. They make and strengthen relationships. Yeah, they can do that, just not between the hours of 12 a.m. and 6 a.m.
I mean, again, cohabitating, even if it's for a night, I think it makes sense. I mean, the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, everybody has done camping trips. I don't know.
Kids are tired the next day. That's why I don't like it. My daughters are always miserable. I'm up all night worrying. I can't get a good night's sleep. It just doesn't make sense to me. But am I out of line? 1-800-330-9999.
Absolutely not. So I was a child, and my parents wouldn't let me sleep over anyone's house. And I really wanted to sleep over one of my friend's house in the worst way. And they finally gave up and let me sleep there. And in the middle of the night, I'm in the bedroom, wide awake, because the parents were fighting and throwing things. And so she knew better. And I learned my lesson. I wanted to go out the window and go back home, but I couldn't.
Yeah, it's not that you don't trust people, but you don't trust people. Like, you don't know what happens in other people's houses either.
Well, that's the thing.
That's so true.
Yeah, clearly, I mean, at that point, it wasn't a good situation.
Yeah.
So that is the nightmare scenario, of course.
You know, you're doing the right thing.
Anna and Raven, what do you think? Is Anna out of line?
Absolutely not. She's 100% right. I have two daughters, and I'm blessed that they are wonderful kids. But in my house, there's no sleepovers until you're 16. By then, you really know what kind of personality they have and what their friends are going to be like.
I don't know, guys. I had the best situations at my sleepovers. Anna and Raven, what do you think? Is Anna out of line?
Nope. I'm with Anna. No sleepovers.
I hear kids just yelling in the background. Right. Don't call mom.
Right, right. I want to have fun in my life. Tell us why.
I was just called a very overprotective mom. She sounds like you, mom. Yep. That's me.
No, you know what? People always like helicopter mom. They throw that around. It's not helicopter mom. My job is to protect you. And sometimes you have to make decisions that aren't popular. And I get it now that I'm a mother. I get it.
And Raven, what do you think? Is Anna out of line?
I think it depends on the age of your kids, but I think that it's a little out of line because it can be like a big social experience for them and they can feel really left out if they don't get to do that.
Huh. I mean, I understand that, but I also like think it's not like I'm saying you're never going to have fun with your friends. Like, you just now I've only limited the pool of people you can sleep over to like three people. So, I mean,
the same three people your entire life, never in a variety whatsoever.
I mean, I guess you're right. I understand where you're coming from in that scenario. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Am I out of line for banning sleepovers?
Not out of line at all. I've been to those sleepovers when I was young. Nothing good happens. You're saving these kids from having a rap sheet when they all get together at night.
That's good. I like to imagine them all just doing illegal activities. But really, I just feel like, why do you have to go to somebody else's house? Like, why can't you just stay there late and then come home? What's the difference if I pick you up at 11 or 12 at night versus, you know, 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning when you wake up? Why can't I just have you home so we can relax in the morning?
Because 12 and 13-year-olds don't want to relax with their parents in the morning. It doesn't make any sense.
That's not true.
I completely agree. And with computers and phones, they can be in touch anyway.
You're right. Like the Matrix. We'll just, you know, forget about regular stimulation and just deal with video games and crushing candy. I guess I'm in the minority.
Yeah. No more sleepovers. Good for me. I 100% thought that all toddlers had this problem, but I guess not. A toddler has been diagnosed with a very rare genetic condition referred to as, and I quote, uncombable hair.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, here is the toddler's mother, Caitlin, talking about her 16-month-old's hair.
We went into the dermatologist's office. Several other doctors came in, and they took pictures of his hair. They took samples of his hair. The hair strand is like a triangular shape and twisted. Every single individual strand is that way.
Baby, he's cute. He's a cute boy.
I mean, I love the fact that three people in lab coats got to come in to talk about this thing, and now we're going to create a new condition.
Yeah.
Kids have had messy hair and strange cowlicks forever.
Oh my gosh.
This is not a new thing. Now we're inventing conditions here.
Well, no. If you look at his hair, you're like, oh, wait a minute. It definitely looks a little bit different.
Have you seen my hair when I wake up? It's terrible.
I mean, it's true.
It's really bad.
Dakota, my three-year-old, has the most unruly, curly hair. And I have straight hair. And my older daughter has straight hair. So dealing with it is an animal that I was not prepared for.
Right.
And it constantly involves screaming and chasing. And yesterday, as I was trying to do her hair, I thought I would record what it sounds like on the regular.
Oh, wonderful.
This is what it sounds like.
Dakota, mommy has to do your hair.
No, you don't.
All right, let me do it. Ready? Come here. No, stop moving. Can I do your hair?
No.
Hurts.
Hurting me. You're hurting me.
I'm not hurting you. I didn't even start yet.
No, you're hurting me.
Stop it, Anna.
No, first of all, you call me mommy. Now let mommy do your hair. Please, I do it nice and easy.
It hurts. I'm gonna die.
You're not gonna die.
Do you use No More Tears or something like that? My sister had the curliest hair growing up, too. It's a lot like Dakota's.
Yep.
And I remember they used to go through quarts of that stuff at my house.
I like the fact that she calls me Anna, that she thinks that she reasons with me and calls me Anna.
Yeah.
That I'll
Oh,
stop
I thought that's
it.
When she was mad at you.
No, she's mad at me. Yeah. She's like, no, Anna.
Right. Right.
And then she's going to die. She's going to die if I comb her hair. Yeah. So I put a picture of her up on our Instagram on the story at Anna and Raven, if you want to see it, to say, like, parents, do you have any tips? And sure, we got a lot of people that said, like, different products that they suggest, which I'm definitely going to go through them because the ones I have are not great.
Okay.
And then also the wet brushes. But there were certainly some creative things that I can do, too. Satin pillowcases for sleeping. Okay.
Okay. I mean, you're going to need those in your bedroom because she climbs into your bed basically every night, right?
Well, she's got, this weekend we put together a big girl bed for her. She hasn't slept in it yet, but
right. We're
hoping.
an ambitious buy and a build, right? Congratulations on your IKEA work.
Only comb her hair in the tub so she can't escape. Genius. That's good.
It is slippery in there.
I'm tired of chasing her around the kitchen. tell her that she'll go bald if you don't brush her hair every day.
She's not going to care. She has zero regard for any of that stuff right now.
And then another person wrote, I use hair detangler, but unfortunately I have to bribe her or use minor threats. I'm like, oh. And then I got curious as to what the minor threats are.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. She didn't send a follow-up then.
No, I need to know, though, what those threats are.
Well, I wish you luck.
Thank you. If you're a dolphin nerd, please call 1-800-330-9999. Raven and I had this conversation yesterday, and I couldn't believe it was real. Go ahead.
I was just talking to you about one of my first trips to Cancun. I went and I did one of those dolphin adventures before I kind of got enlightened on the dolphin thing. I had to go swim with a dolphin.
Yeah.
And when we went, this younger girl, I don't know if she was a teenager, 20s or whatever, she was clearly there with her family, and they discovered that she was pregnant when she got in the pool with the dolphins.
Now, how did they find out she
because
was pregnant?
Because as soon as you get in a pool, like if you're pregnant, the dolphins, I think they hear the heartbeat or whatever underwater. It's like a sonar thing, and they are just drawn to it. So they came up, like they were all around her.
So wait a minute. Now
they don't allow people that are pregnant to go dolphin experience, I don't think.
So do you think she didn't know, or do you think she was just not telling her family?
She clearly, she did not. I mean, I think she knew, but she had not told her family. Anything like that. I mean, she wasn't showing or anything like that.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it was so mind-blowing when it happened. Like, we weren't even sure what was going on.
Right.
And then when she got out of the water, the one of the handlers was like, oh yeah. He was like, she's pregnant.
He's like,
you didn't read the form? And we were like, what? Like, you're not allowed to go if you're pregnant.
To me, that sounds so insane. Hmm. And like, and what do you say? You got a baby in there. Out. How do you handle
it? It wasn't quite
situation?
That dramatic. They told her she had to get out of the pool. She got out of the pool. Her parents followed after her. And then the guy, like, you know, we were kind of like, what's going on? Is everything okay? You know, because the dolphins, like, seriously, they like zoom in. And then he was like, oh, yeah. He's like, everything's fine. It's just that she decided to get in the pool when she was pregnant.
To me, this sounds so insane. Like,
well, you know, when you're on mezcal, it's it's two, you know, it's two in the afternoon. You're in Mexico. Everything seems pretty normal, actually.
Oh,
situation normal.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Are you a dolphin nerd?
I'm an animal nerd, and dolphins are included, yes.
Cool. All right. So, I mean, do you have any actual, like, you're not working at a zoo or on a refuge or a preservation or anything, are you?
I work at Quag Wildlife Refuge, so yes.
Okay.
I'm an environmental educator.
Okay. Oh, my
Beautiful.
Gosh. All right.
Okay. Raven says that dolphins know when women are pregnant. Is that true?
They can sense all types of things beyond what humans can, so I would say yes.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as you get in the water, as soon as this girl got in the pool, they were like, womp, womp, and they were not interested in any of the rest of us. She had to get out of the pool because they wouldn't take photos with the rest of us.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, they can sense hormones and everything else, and they can get pretty frisky pretty fast, so they can sense injuries underwater and other things, and they're one out of two mammals underwater that have that sense of echolocation underwater, so
right.
they can pick up a lot of different things.
So that's another thing that we're not going to talk about because this is a family program, but you're right. Dolphins get very frisky, sir.
They do?
Yes. They get inappropriate.
Yeah. I had no idea. Wow.
Oh, yeah. A Randy dolphin? You don't want to mess with a Randy dolphin. They're stronger than you think.
I'm sure they are.
And there's no way to fend them off. You can't wrestle a dolphin. They're slippery.
Yeah, very slippery. Yeah.
They get
Unless
you.
Unless you're Aquaman, you have a chance. Yeah.
No, they get you, man. They get you. They've got the leverage.
I can't believe you were serious about this. A dolphin nerd has confirmed that what Raven told me yesterday is true. Raven went to Cancun, and some girl found out while she was swimming with dolphins that she was pregnant because a dolphin told her.
Yeah. Yeah, it was freaky. She got in the pool. You had to sign a waiver, obviously, when you got in the pool before there. And I guess in the fine print, it says that you can't go when you're, you can't be injured and you can't be pregnant. And I guess as soon as they get in the water, I mean, she got in the water and all of a sudden these dolphins were just swarming around her. Young girl there with her parents. She seemed to know kind of like, you know, there was a situation or had an idea of it. They got out of the pool, kind of hurried, rushed them off or whatever. And we asked after the guy came back and we were like, oh, what was going on? Everything cool with the dolphins? Because, you know, you just want your time with the dolphin. You don't care if anybody's actually got a problem.
Right.
You didn't see him drown in front of you or anything like that. He's like, oh, yeah, that girl's pregnant.
Can you imagine?
And we were like, what? And he's like, oh, yeah.
And it's true. The dolphin nerd confirmed that that's a real thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, imagine, because of the sonar.
Yeah. What was the weird way that you found out you were pregnant? I feel like for both my pregnancies, it was just a test, sitting like in the bathroom.
So boring.
You know, boring. 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Hannah and Raven.
Was it a dolphin wearing a lab coat?
A totally different way. That's a very, very weird way.
Go ahead. Let's hear it.
So I was supposed to have knee surgery, and, you know, they have to give you a pregnancy test before they bring you to the OR. And I thought it was a little weird that I hadn't seen my doctor yet. 2 seconds later, he comes walking around, has a look on his face, looks at me, and looks at my mom, and I have to talk to him home for a second.
Right then and there,
I knew that I was going home and not having surgery.
Wow. How old were you?
Yeah, 30.
Oh, all right.
Get out of the room, Mom.
Yeah, Mom.
Don't be nosy. I'll call you back here in a minute, Mom.
Yeah. Right. He then looked at me and he's like, so do you want to tell her or do you want me to tell her?
Wow. And you were like, what?
Right.
The funniest thing was, Anna, is at Cancun, the guy acted like this happened every day. He was like so relaxed about it. And we were like, what?
Anna and Raven, how did you find out you were pregnant?
I get nosebleeds.
Every time you get pregnant, that's the only time you get a nosebleed?
Pretty much. The first time, obviously, I didn't know what it meant. But the second time, I said I better get a pregnancy test. And the third time, absolutely, it worked again.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
That
wow.
is weird.
It just shows you that a baby is actually a small vampire.
Yeah. And lives in your nasal cavity.
I mean, immediately, it's like, you know, you start leaking. Well, that's a wild coincidence. Yep. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
You also can't get in the pool with dolphins if you're bleeding. Even from the nose.
Okay. Anna and Raven, how did you find out you were pregnant?
By a manatee, a baby manatee.
See? Look at it. So, wait a minute. So, the manatee, do they have, like, the sonar thing going on, too, or what? I know they're, like, gentle giants.
They are. They're gentle giants, and I was swimming with a manatee in Florida, and they tell you when you swim with them that you're not supposed to approach them. They're supposed to approach you. Swimming with a group of them, a baby swam away from the mother, came toward me, and he or she made complete eye contact with me, and I got chills through my body like, wow, this is a spiritual moment. I have no idea what's going on, but there was no aggression. but just sat there and stared at me for a good few minutes and then slowly swam away. You know, I flew home a couple days later, a week later, took a pregnancy test, and lo and behold, I was 4 weeks pregnant.
Wow. We don't need these pregnancy tests. We just need manatees and dolphins to surround us all the time in water.
Right?
Yeah.
Think about that the next time you don't recycle.
$19.99 for a test. Get out of here.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Jeff and Brenda. Brenda, what's going on?
Hi. Yeah, okay. So my husband, Jeff, he's, you know, he's a good dad. We have two children, daughter and a son. My daughter, she does really well in school. You know, it's like she's natural at it. And Jeff is super proud of her, which I love. He's always posting, like, pictures of her report card on social media. You know, like, kind of bragging. And first of all, I just think it's a little bit tasteless. Like, I just think, let's celebrate her at home where it matters, right? But secondly, I really feel worried that it's going to make my son feel, like, not as special. I would like him to stop.
Jeff.
What's up.
Jeff.
I heard what she said. He's not proud of her son.
Well, not even that. It's so corny. It's corny. When you're posting pictures of your kids' report cards and high honors again.
Oh, come on, Miss Judgy McJudgerson.
Thank you. He's proud.
I would imagine that your daughter, I mean, doing well in school is a proud moment for you. It's not a humble brag. It's just like you're sharing.
You're bragging. Jeff, go ahead. Try to defend yourself.
Yeah. I mean, don't worry, Jeff. I mean, I'm here for you. Go ahead. Tell me.
And I appreciate that. And I'm not trying to make my son feel inadequate. You know, I'm extremely proud of my daughter and her academics. I believe that is one of the most important things in life. Now, our son, he does excel at sports. He doesn't excel at academics. As for posting the pictures of our daughter, I see nothing wrong with it. I am so proud of her because she is so naturally brilliant. That is incredible. Yes, I know I don't post pictures of our son and his academics, but he needs to catch up to that level. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. He is extremely gifted at sports. I'm okay with that as well. We have two beautiful children.
Got you on the defensive. I don't even feel like it's fair.
It does. I'm not going to lie.
You know what I'd really like to see, Anna, is one of the let's put both of the report cards next to each other, and then they have that slide thing where you can go to the left or the right, and it shows you a before and after of, like, a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
But one would be the son's report card versus the daughter. That would be hurtful, but, I mean, just showing her report card and ignoring his on report card day, I don't know. I'm with you. As long as you represent the fact that he's part of your family, I think you're pretty good. But maybe that's just me.
I have a problem with so many things here. But ultimately, it's up to the audience to decide who's right. So maybe you agree with Brenda that it is tasteless, it is hurtful to your son, and that he should stop doing it. Or you may see Jeff's side, too, that he's just proud of his daughter and he's proud of his son for different ways. And if he wants to show it off on social media, he has every right to, and he should do it with his head held high.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Jeff and Brenda have two children, and Jeff constantly posts pictures of his older daughter when she gets high honors on her report card, puts it on Facebook. And Brenda has a problem with it because her younger son doesn't do as well. He doesn't post pictures of his report card, and she just thinks it's tacky overall.
Yeah, it's all about balance, and you know your kids better than anybody. So, I mean, those are all valid points. But Jeff says, listen, my kid's great at sports. His son is great at sports. He posts photos of that all the time. It's just a dangerous game, I think, where we always are worried about what our praise for our kids is going to affect other kids. Like, I mean, we have to worry about our own household, and that's it.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
I am definitely on the wife's side. I've been a school psychologist for 15 years. You don't know the mental health problems we're dealing with these kids because of academic pressure.
Yeah, but I mean, so with academic pressure, though, I mean, the one question we never asked is the son happy in his life? And the son seems to be happy in his life. He excels at sports. He might not be the best student, so whose mental health are we talking about here? Now we take away the praise from the daughter because we're afraid of making somebody else feel bad. We don't even know if that kid feels bad.
But it's the public display. That's the thing. It's like, look, everybody, look at what she did, you know? And then...
Exactly.
So I guess we'll...
You know, and what it does to her, though, pressure on her. I have so
so many kids that I work with who talk about, well, I do so well. There's so much, the expectations now are so high. What happens if I get a B?
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
100%.
They are losing their minds in the school.
Yeah.
What about the kid who reads the newspaper when they see the high honors all published? But nobody has a problem with that.
I know. I'm not in favor of that either. And I don't think academics are the most important thing out there. I think health first, and then that makes you available for learning.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's Couples Court. Jeff is really proud of his daughter and her report card. So much so that whenever she gets it, he posts a big old picture right on Facebook. But his wife, Brenda, well, she's got a real problem with that.
Brenda says that it draws undue attention to the daughter's academic success, right? I mean, great. Their daughter is smart, and they're very proud of that. But they should only be proud at home because she worries about how it's going to make their son feel. Now, Jeff says their son is really great at sports, and I post all sorts of photos about that.
What are your thoughts on this? Are you like me? Do you just think it's tacky in general? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
It's great to be proud of your child, but every child isn't as bright, and it would be great to hold this back and not express it.
This is where we're at nowadays, is that we just have to worry about how every single person on the planet feels on Facebook. There's 4 billion people on Facebook, Anna, and I got to be concerned with their feelings and their kids' feelings.
I'm just telling you that if you post pictures of your kids straight A's all the time, I'm rolling my eyes. I'm telling you.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. I think it is very important to make your children feel special, and I love that he's proud of his daughter. I would just suggest that he also shows his son that he's proud of him in his court.
He shows photos of his kid playing baseball. I mean, if the kid hits a home run, you're proud.
Maybe he should do it a little bit more often.
I mean, maybe the kid should hit more home runs.
Oh, good. Good. And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I am on the wife's side. I think it's tacky, and I think that he's going to hurt his son's feelings, and putting that stuff out there for everybody to see is going to embarrass them.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Brenda, our audience agreed with you. Jeff, it is tasteless. It is hurtful. And just don't do it. Just be proud at home with your own family and celebrate amongst each other.
Okay. Thank you, audience. I'm feeling vindicated. Babe, are you listening?
I am. And I don't want this to be an argument. I will agree to slow down the pacing on it and maybe post more about our son and the things that he is doing because, you know, they're right. Fair is fair.
I can't wait for your daughter to be in therapy at 35 and you to have to join her that day. And she'll say, why did you guys stop telling me I was smart when I turned 14? Oh, I'm sorry. That was mom's fault. And the evil radio show. Best of luck, guys.
If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,700 thanks to Discover Card. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. All right, Dawn, let's do this. We have $1,700 on the line. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, would you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Dawn.
All right.
Thank you.
Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, you can't hear us. It's a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to do this?
Sure.
Number one, Bindi Irwin remembered her father, Steve Irwin, by posting a sweet birthday tribute in what would have been his 60th birthday. In what country will you find Steve Irwin's wildlife reserve?
Australia.
Number two, the U.S. ban on Mexican imported avocados has officially ended after just a week. What late night sidekick starred in the avocado Super Bowl commercial as Julius Caesar?
Andy Richter.
Number three, Kelly Clarkson will be doing a tribute to Dolly Parton at the ACMs. What iconic 1980s movie did Dolly Parton star in alongside Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin?
9 to 5.
Number four, a trailer was released yesterday for Netflix's 6-episode documentary, The Andy Warhol Diaries. He is credited as the leading figure in the visual art movement known as what? Time's
pop
up.
Art. I don't know.
Say that one more time.
Pop art.
Okay, and number five, Ben Stiller and Christine Taylor are back together after separating in 2017. They starred together in many movies, including Zoolander, Dodgeball, and the one that Ben Stiller wrote where they play actors making a Vietnam War film. What movie is that?
Gosh, no clue.
Oh, my gosh. I swear, Dawn, if you got that last one, you would have had him. Let me see if it's enough. Let's see. Let's keep our fingers crossed. You got 4 out of 5. Oh, man, wow. I wanted her to get that last one.
$1,700. Very impressive. Let's see how you do, Dawn.
Number one, Bindi Irwin remembered her father, Steve Irwin, by posting a sweet birthday tribute and would have been his 60th birthday. In what country will you find Steve Irwin's wildlife reserve?
That's easy. Australia.
Yes. Number two, the U.S. ban on Mexican imported avocados has officially ended after just a week. What late-night sidekick starred in the avocado Super Bowl commercial as Julius Caesar?
Andy Richter. Feels like it was a power play, right?
Yep. Number three, Kelly Clarkson will be doing a tribute to Dolly... Kelly Clarkson will be doing a tribute to Dolly Parton at the ACMs. What iconic 1980s movie did Dolly Parton star in alongside Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin?
9 to 5. Love that movie.
Yes. Number four, a trailer was released yesterday for Netflix's 6-episode documentary, The Andy Warhol Diaries.
Okay.
He is credited as a leading figure in the visual art movement known as what?
Modern art?
No, pop art. You need this last
one. Kind of what I meant, but all right.
No, modern art and pop art are two different things.
Are they? I mean, I wouldn't
yes.
know.
Number five, Ben Stiller and Christine Taylor are back together after separating in 2017.
Yeah, isn't that a nice story?
It's really a nice story. The pandemic brought them back together. They've starred together in many movies, including Zoolander, Dodgeball, and the one that Ben Stiller wrote where they play actors making a Vietnam War film.
Tropic Thunder, best R-rated comedy ever. Well, at least the last decade. Really
gosh.
Good.
Dawn, when you got pop art, I was like, man, if you had just gotten that last one, I knew you would have had him.
That's like my favorite movie. I'm sorry.
Well, Dawn, we're going to hook you up with an Anna and Raven t-shirt for that tie.
Enjoy that shirt, girl.
All right. It's Dawn and I can't beat Raven.
Hold on.
Better luck next time. $1,800 tomorrow.